This it is WMFO in Medford, 9:02 in the morning. It is March 11th, and it feels like December 11th. It's cold. It's snowed. It's icy. So this is just round one, I guess. But we'll talk more about the weather, because that's what I do, you know. And anyway, I am Mike, and I'm on the mic here until 11 a.m. this morning. We do have our two favorite guests here. The Hurwitzes, Les and Mark, that is. They are downstairs waiting for me, so I've got to go get them. And lots of good stuff coming up. So let me start you off on this hour with some new noise from the band The Orwells. And this one is called Hippie Soldier. Brand new here, WMFO.
Shut up. sad. Think of the time we had, the moments truer now. It won't last. I don't wanna wave goodbye, shout out a thousand times. I love you till the moment dies. What am I gonna do? I can't survive. That you love to dance, but you don't know how. It doesn't mean that we can't try. Fix me in your twilight eyes, so we can make a moment last. Time. What am I trying to find? Are you alive? Oh my.
mercy on my ears, will you?
Take a look around me, taking pages from a magazine. Been looking for the answers ever since we were 17. You know the truth can be a weapon to fight this world of ill intentions. A new answer to the same question: how many times will you learn the same lesson?
I think they got it all wrong. We just gotta hold on and on and on and on. 'Cause we're gonna be
turn back now, got to leave it all on the floor. Been dreaming of the payoff through the struggles and the trade-offs. Fighting tooth and nail on the way up. Tell them the truth, but they think it's just made up.
And I think they got it all wrong, but we just gotta hold on and on.
We're gonna be legends, gonna get their attention. What we're doing here ain't just scary, it's about to be legendary. Yeah, we're gonna be legends, gonna teach them all a lesson. Got this feeling in our souls we carry, it's about to be legendary.
WMFO, Medford, 919 in the morning. I am Mike on the mic. How the heck are you today? Thanks for asking. I'm cold. I'm really cold. You know, I didn't realize I'd have to like scrape my life away when I got to the car this morning.
That was me last night.
What a mess, huh?
And literally you being scraped off of City Hall Plaza.
Yeah, man.
I got hit. We were taking a walk. I do Appalachian Mountain Club walks and hikes and all that. And last night we were doing a walk through Boston. We hit City Hall Plaza just as a snow squall came, and the gust must have been 70 miles an hour. It literally lifted me off my feet, and next thing I know, I'm just on the ground, and everything is in pain.
Well, I'm glad you're all right, and I'm glad you made it here. I mean, I wrote to you this morning saying, you know what, if you don't want to, but you're like, nope, want to go.
No, got to do it, you know, gimpies in the house, as I was saying, and everything's hurting except my vocal cords, which I'm sure some people would like the opposite. but you know,
nobody
that's just,
would.
Yeah.
All right, so everybody, that's Mark Horwitz, and his dad, Les Horwitz, is here too.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, you know, after hearing what happened to Mark, I feel really unconquerable now because I'm over the age of 29 and I'm looking down at Mark, at least metaphorically, on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what a father will do.
I'm sorry.
A true dad will do that. Yeah.
But I do want to do give a shout-out to...
Teresa.
Teresa. Definitely Teresa. Yeah. Teresa, we were hoping she'd be here today, but maybe next month or May she might come up.
Yep. So, and she'll join us here, too, when she does.
Yeah, can't wait to see you in the studio. Also, shout-out to my friends with the Appalachian Mountain Club who scraped me off the ground last night and kind of... Mm. Help me out a little bit, because otherwise I'd probably still be lying either in City Hall Plaza or maybe sitting in the Casale with a Guinness, but that wouldn't be a bad thing, actually.
No. All right, well, thank you to them for doing that, for sure. All right, let me do this. So I'll tell you what we play in the first set, then we're going to go over to our friend Les, who's got four tracks and some backstory about each one, some historical stories to sort of tie the song into the historical aspect of them, so it'll be really cool. And then Mark's got a six-song set that he's going to share with us, as well as you're going to do some reviews and some news and stuff too?
Yeah, sure, I can do that.
All right, good.
You know, some nice outdoor dining maybe, because it's a beautiful day for it.
Mm-hmm. It is. All right, so brand new noise, everybody, to start us off. We got some new noise from the Afghan Whigs. I don't know why my voice does that. Forthcoming record coming out, and I really like this. This is a forthcoming single called Demon in Profile. It's new at WMFO. We'll be right back.
This is more like it.
You're listening to WMFO Bedford.
Mother's dying. News had just come over. We had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies. I saw boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse. It had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store everything in there. And all the fat, skinny people. And all the tall, short people. Hadn't pulled her off, I think she would have killed them. A soldier with a broken arm fixed his death to the wheels of a Cadillac. A cop knelt and kissed the feet of a priest, and a queer threw up the sight of that. I think I saw you in an ice cream parlor, drinking milkshakes cold and long, smiling and waving and looking so fine. Don't think you knew you were in the song. And it was cold and it rained, so I felt like an actor. And I thought
WMFO, Medford. How's it going?
Three more for you to say goodnight with.
Oh, sorry, we can't play more.
No, we should.
I know, but we can't. It's not
that's
right.
Still,
we can't.
That's still
we have things
maybe
to do.
My favorite Bowie song.
We have things to do.
What a great song that is.
Absolutely. Like I say, that was David Bowie from The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust, 5 years. Before that, James Time Revival from The Education of a Wandering Man. Rather new CD for them. I think it's their latest, actually. Love is a Burden. Great one from Spoon was just before that. 2005's Gimme Fiction CD. That was The Beast and the Dragon Adored. And started off with The Afghan Whigs. Brand new from those guys. Really like it. It's Demon in Profile is that one.
Yeah, they're a really good, underrated band. And Spoon, too. I mean, Spoon is another Austin band, and boy, it's two bands that you hear more and more Spoon actually these days, which is nice. They're finally making it big, I guess.
They should.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like it a lot. All right, Mike on the mic here, 9:39 in the morning. Mark Hurwitz and Les Hurwitz are here. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, and I'm pointing my fingers around like I'm being secretive. I'm saying,
just
Les!
Hit the mic.
I hit myself.
Don't do
Les,
that.
We're going to go over
good
to
morning.
You first. Good morning. I'm very happy that you're going to share these four tracks with us. Why don't you tell us about it? I know you wrote a nice little piece that I wrote on the copied for you on the internet, but tell us about these four and how you're going to do this segment.
Well, I'm glad Mike admitted that he was not original just now, so that's interesting.
Everybody knew.
But I dearly love Mike, really. The involvement today will be based upon the word imagery, and I'll go into that in just a moment. A few weeks ago, I wrote one of my blogs on two of the most ubiquitous, arguably, bedfellows of human history, and that would be war and music. And you go ahead, you tell me which came first. I don't know if anybody can really determine which came first. So. And what I decided to do was to put together not just for this program, but also for the students I have, because we talk about historiography and music, so that music becomes more enhanced if we know the aspects of creating events around music and how the music itself is represented and given to us. The affecting of history on music is the most important thing in terms of music itself, it seems to me. I'm going to talk about four compositions you're going to hear, all based upon piano. And the first, by a Norwegian composer who died within a generation of this time, his name is Harald, H-A-R-A-L-D, Severud, S-A-E-V-E-R-U-D. Arguably the most powerful Norwegian composer after Grieg. He was born, 10 years before Grieg died. Grieg died in 1907, so you go ahead and figure out when Severud was born. So he lasted, he went into his 90s. And one of my students, who now teaches at the University of Bergen in Norway, actually got to know the old man before he passed away, and I think did some work with him in terms of compositional relativity. At any rate, what you're going to hear to begin with, and this is the... I'm going to talk about the imagery that I'd like you to do. When I was young, which is, longer ago than numbers, before TV, the imagery created in our minds by words was given us by radio, of course, to gather around the factory we call the family, gathered around the Philco, the old radio, listening to programs and or, commentaries and all. Obviously, pictures would come up in our minds. You know what I mean. We all have imagery going on in our mind. No matter what the music is, what the words are, we create pictures. And so the art of conversation seems to me was dulled when TV came in. And I'm not against TV. It's just that we talked a lot more as a family around a Philco than perhaps people do around a TV today. Maybe. That is hypothetical. At any rate, I'd beseech you to use the word imagery in terms of whetting the appetite of the music you're going to hear. Now, Severud wrote... some very interesting music within a five-year period. And you remember, perhaps, those of you who happen to be listening to a program in which Mark and I discussed, I mostly, but Mark came in too, because he was the driver of the taxicab that shipped this great pianist back and forth from and to my house. When the great pianist, Norwegian pianist, who is very much with us today, still a young man, Leif Ove Andsnes, L-E-I-F, O-V-E. These are the two names he goes by as a first name. And then A-N-D-S-N-E-S, in case you want to look him up. Arguably, as great a musician alive who plays the piano as there is today. He's the guy who wanted to come and meet me, little old me, and that story we've discussed before. You know, when Mark brought him in by car and took him home by car, which was an incredible task, and we talked about it. During the 4 or 5 hours that Onsness was with me in my own home, he asked me a question. Do you know this piece called Ballad of Revolt? And I said, no, I'm not at all involved with knowledge of this piece. And he went ahead and told me that it essentially becomes the second, and has become the second national anthem in Norway. It's used almost as much as the anthem itself. And it's because of its nationalism. Very quickly, let me tell you. Severide, who at this time was a middle-aged guy, was in the middle of the end of the phony war when Hitler decided after defeating Poland, there was no war because there was bantering about, well, the English and the French declared war on Germany, and maybe we can avert war. That's what Hitler was actually thinking. He didn't want to go to war with the British, and I don't want to get into this now. But there was this period of non-war after Poland was taken, and the Second World War had actually started back in 1939. This phony war took place in which neither side did any attacking. As a matter of fact, one of the strange stories that comes out of this is that the French soldiers on the border between France and Germany, and this is during the phony war, were watching the German soldiers playing soccer less than 1,000 yards away. And one of the visiting generals came down and said, why are you not attacking? And the French commander said, well, they haven't attacked us, so why should we attack them? Just one of the strange things that happened during this period. But the phony war ended with a crash in the spring of 1940 when Hitler attacked the lowlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Holland, and then ultimately France. And, of course, went into the Nordic countries, Norway and Denmark. Severide happened to notice on a given day an incursion of soldiers in strange uniforms. These were German soldiers. They had invaded and taken Norway in a matter of hours. And he became so upset that he said, from this point on, until these monsters are driven from our soil, from our culture, I will do nothing but write music on behalf of my anger and the anger of Norway. And he stuck to his guns. During the period until 1945, Severide wrote nothing but music that dealt with the nationalistic reality of the culture of Norway. And by the way, little Norway, just get this in terms of the courage shown. The king of Norway would come down from his home on a white horse and come through the streets of Oslo. And crowds would gather around him, and the Nazi soldiers, the German soldiers, would leave him alone. And that happened all the way during the war. This king showed himself every day. So a study in courage. The piece you're going to hear today is called Ballad of Revolt. And it tells the seething hatred that Severide, as a Norwegian, held for the German invader. What you hear is something that starts out softly, but in his memoir, Severide says, I hate the Nazi. Bang, 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 bang. He uses four words, namely bang, four times. Now, in the piece, it starts out softly, but then all of a sudden you hear an incredible bang. And four times, and this is part of the memoir that comes to life in the piece. Onsness tells me, he had just recorded it. He said, when that bang occurs, it's on two different notes, and the composer specifically says that note has to be hit a certain way on the piano with two fingers. Watch out for bruising. That's what Onsness said. If you get the music, be careful that you may bruise your fingers playing this piece. So you're going to hear the bang shortly after the piece starts, and you're going to hear a slow rising of hatred based upon loudness and incredible increase in notation until the end. So the piece, which lasts about 3 minutes, is a gradually increasing sense of hatred toward the reality of the invader. The performer is my friend and yours now, Leif Ove Onsness. And there you are. Before Anslis left my home, he had two things to say. He was here in Boston to play with the BSO. He pulled out a lot of tickets. He said, "Would you like some tickets?" I said, "No, no thanks. We're all set." And then he said, "Be careful of Ballad of Revolt. You may bruise your fingers." That's what he said just before he left. So I thought perhaps you'd like to hear. And I used to play this. I played this, and I did. I bruised my fingers, and I found a way by I used a different approach through my wrist to cushion the blow on the fingertips. It was really quite an interesting experience. I won't go into it, but it's one of those pieces, and it's not known at all in this country. Very few people. I had real trouble finding it. I found it in a warehouse in Florida. It was sent up. Guess I have no idea why it was in Florida. Norwegian, at that time, the only edition. Straight out of Norway, ending up in Florida. Guess why? I have no idea. Now, the second piece we're going to hear, we go back from 1940 to 1831. This piece was written by Frédéric Chopin. I'm sure that you know who he was. One of the great romantic composers coming out of the middle third of the 19th century. Now, he was born in 1810. And in 1831, when Chopin was all of 21, the Russians were up to their antics and invaded Poland because of an insurrection called the Cadets' Rebellion. And, you know, poor little Poland, it's in a very bad place in Europe, we know this. And we have seen this time and time again with the tragedy of Poland ending in the Second World War. And what happened to it then? Well, going back to 1831, you had the Austrian-Hungarian, Austro-Hungarian Empire. One side and Russia on the other, and poor little Poland sandwiched in between. Chopin himself was Polish. Even though his name was French, he was a Pole. His father had come in from France and opened up a button factory near Warsaw, and little Chopin, Frederick, was born and raised in Poland. Chopin, at age 21, was so involved with his own frustration. He loved Poland, and he wanted to fight against the Russians. He really wanted to join the army at age 21. But Chopin was a tragedy. As early as perhaps age 12, he was already tubercular, and there was no way that he could deal physically with putting his hand out against the Russians. The only way he could do it was through the music. He wrote a series of etudes, the word etude meaning study in French, is in music a study to advance the physicality by way of the technology of writing on the piano, to learn more about what can be done on, in this case, the piano. So each etude addresses an issue. Now, the issue in this particular etude was, well, more people are right-handed, more pianists, therefore, are right-handed. Let's work on the technique in the left hand. So in this piece, Chopin, and you will hear it, uses the left hand a lot more than the right. The right hand carries the melody. The left hand carries the turbulence. This is war. This is the war. This is called the Revolutionary Etude. Most of you will know this piece, but I thought I'd give you a little bit of historical context on it. The most incredible thing about this is if you do connect this to the anger that Chopin represents in this piece and the reality that the only way he could fight against the Russian was through music. And the power of the expression of music is there. Vladimir Horowitz, the great pianist, is the recording that you're going to hear of the Revolutionary Etude. Keep in mind, and this is perhaps the most sensational of all, that Chopin at age 21, having written this piece, tells us about the incredible stamp of originality about Chopin. We know it's Chopin already, age 21. Listen to this piece of anger.
Thank you.
Great statement. For two reasons. Obviously, now that you know the story behind the piece you're probably familiar with, doesn't it give a little more meaning to the piece? Also, having listened to the way the piece is made up, the greatness of Chopin is best shown through the fact that as the student deals with this piece, and eventually, if it happens, masters the technique and plays it well, all of a sudden, this is not an etude anymore. It's a great piece of music. It has something to say, and the atmosphere around you moves. That is what great music is all about. It makes no difference what the style is. So that's Chopin at age 21. He lived to be all of 39 years old. Died of tuberculosis and other diseases. You know, it was said that the last thing he muttered before he passed away, he said, "I was cursed with a short life and a long nose." So I thought perhaps you'd know that generally he's thought of as a very handsome person, but he felt that he had a long nose and it bothered him right to the end. Now, the third piece you're going to hear, we're going to go back to 1940. And this emerges from Russia. Now, it's both the composer and the performer. By the way, in the case of the performer in Chopin, you're going to hear Vladimir Horowitz again in this piece by Sergei Prokofiev, who wrote Peter and the Wolf. Now, when you hear true Prokofiev music, you don't hear what you hear in Peter and the Wolf, which has, you know, one wonderful tune after another. Remember, he was dared. Can you write something in the traditional style? Well, he wrote two pieces, the Classical Symphony and Peter and the Wolf, which we all know is easy to listen to and it's wonderful. But this is not true Prokofiev. What you're going to hear is true Prokofiev. His sense of dissonance, after the expressionistic period in the art aspect during the 20s between the two world wars, the search